Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is a multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more, bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you may make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. The word of the Lord.
Let's turn to the gospel. Let's turn and listen to the good news of Jesus Christ, the word amongst the people. This is from Luke, the 19th chapter. Our tradition is to stand during the gospel if you are able and comfortable to do so. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. All who saw it began to grumble and say, he has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. If I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So are we ready? Got a little bit of work to do before we get too far along. I want you to take and... Now, I'd invite you to close your eyes and concentrate, but I'd lose a lot of us, you know. So I want you to just think a moment. Think of your image of Jesus Christ. Think of the image of Jesus, Son of Mary, Jesus of Nazareth. Think of what he looked like. We've seen paintings, we've seen pictures, we've seen depictions, we've seen movies. But think of what is your image of Jesus. Okay, kind of getting that in there, and you can hang on to that. Don't close your eyes. If you haven't closed, open them up again, quick. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short of stature. Do you know, in the original Greek reading, the people reading that heard that passage, and the Greek, remember we're reading a translation, but the Greek is even more vague than the English, and they read it that Jesus was short of stature. They had understood that Jesus was the one, not Zacchaeus, so he had to climb the tree so he could see Jesus, because he was a little bitty guy walking down the street. How many of you are going, no, that cannot be right? Scholars, later on, English scholars after the translation said, Jesus is the Son of God, he's got to be tall. He has to be. I mean, it just has to be the case. The Greek is ambiguous. I have a feeling that if he was terribly short, that someone along the way would have made some note of that. I don't really know. What was that song, Short People? Have you ever heard that? No, no. We won't go there. Some of us resemble that remark. We all know. We all know Jesus. He was tallish, blonde hair, blue-eyed, fair-skinned. He was a beach boy. I always grimace when I see paintings, and it looks like he's one of the beach boys with long, flowing, blonde hair. Think about it a minute. He was Jewish, Middle Eastern, son of Mary, David. He was living in that culture. We know what he was going to look like. We know that here. And how does that tie with our image? Now, why am I doing all this? Why am I picking on you? Why am I going through all of this? I'm trying to challenge some stereotypes. Melissa and I have been in Aurora now for, when did we move? A couple years, almost a year and a half, somewhere in that range. We've had three different doctors. Same doctor's office, same clinic, same exam room, but the doctors, I guess we just run them off. I don't know. But we've had three different, and it's kind of a challenge. Have you ever walked into a doctor's office, you don't know the doctor or anything? There's two people. There's a man and a woman, both wearing lab coats and stethoscopes. Which one's the doctor? In this day and age, you got to be really careful and back up. Because it's always interesting. You meet the guy and he says, "Yeah, I'm the nurse." You say, "Yes, sir, you are." I've had more female doctors than male doctors, it seems like, and that's a wonderful thing. They do a great job. But that stereotyping stuff gets stuck with us, and we hang on to it, and we get a little lost. And so we need to really think that over, because, you see, we're called to love our neighbors. Did you know that? That's the primary thing that Jesus said. Love your neighbor like I've loved you. Like God loves us, unconditionally, in everything, every way. Well, who's our neighbor? It's not a blonde-haired, blue-eyed beach boy. It's not John Denver. It's not... None of my neighbors look like that. I've got Hispanic, African-American, Vietnamese, Nepalese. I don't know what the other... There's this one little old couple. They have no English. She is a delight. She walks by and does this at me all the time. And I say, "Hi, how are you?" And she just does this. Has the cutest little daughter, and the daughter won't speak to me until she looks at Grandma, and then looks at me, and then looks at Grandma, and Grandma says like this, and then she'll wave. Stranger danger. It's all right. It's all right. I understand. Cuter is a bug, I tell you, but that's my neighbors. That's our neighbors, isn't it? Aurora is delightful in that respect. We have that God-given diversity. But Jesus wasn't a beach boy. He didn't have fair skin, blonde hair, blue eyes. Was he tall or was he short? I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter. He was tall on righteousness and justice. He was tall on modeling how to be, on that behavior that we're trying to learn. He was tall as the master teacher, the guide that shows us the way to life. In Luke, Jesus said, "See, I'm sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you." You don't go to the first house that has the people that look the most like you. You don't go to the first house that has a sign out that's demonstrated the same political party that you belong to. You don't go to the first house that has an ad for the same things that you like best or drives a car similar to your. You go to the first house there, you stay there. You don't shop around for a better one. "Well, your house was okay, but they've got a nicer house. They got a pool." See what he was saying? That ministry isn't a selective thing. It's how we are and where we're supposed to be. Now, I've struggled a little. The lectionary has led us the last several Sundays to kind of be in the same frame talking about division and about unity and all of those things. Or maybe it's just the fact that I'm seeing that in the nation, that this, and we've talked a little bit about it, we are being fragmented into death camps so widely disparate that we can't even talk to each other, with chasms between opposing peoples that need to be crossed. And we're called to be about doing that and about being the people that cross those. Hang on. It's all right, it's just water. I know some of you were wondering, I know. All those sayings, do you remember all the sayings your parents taught you when you were little? My dad was a PK, pastor's kid. His dad was a Presbyterian minister. My mom wasn't, but she was raised on a ranch, and they read Bible, and so she had all the Bible stories tied together and stuff. She used to say, they are as important to themselves as you are to yourself. That was a good saying about the golden rule, wasn't it? You want to preach?
No.
Okay.
That's what I'm allergic to.
Yes, you're allergic to preaching. Okay. One of the other things I said, be careful. Be careful. You will be judged by the company you keep. Did your mom ever tell you that, or your dad? How about birds of a feather flock together? Have you heard that saying? That'd make a nice title for a sermon, wouldn't it? Birds of a feather flock together. That's an interesting statement, and you know, it seems to make a lot of sense to me. In a lot of ways, it seems to hold together. Except I have a problem. Besides the cough. Jesus seems to have ignored it. Here's Zacchaeus. He's a sinner. He's a tax collector. He's an outcast. He's rich. He's all the wrong things. That's why the people said, look, he's going to feast with a sinner. What's wrong with him? He's going to hang out with the wrong crowd. You'll be judged by the company you keep. And he goes right to him. How about that woman he met? Do you remember Jesus met a woman at the well? Do you remember that? She was a nice lady, wasn't she? She was an upstanding citizen. She was one of the leaders of the town, wasn't she? You have had 5 husbands, and the one you now live with is not your husband, he said to her. That still gets people in trouble today around. You know, people say, oh, she's been married and divorced. He's been married and divorced. We still have some preconceptions there that are unfair. But here's somebody that married and divorced 5 times, living outside of marriage. I mean, I'll tell you what, it's something else. And Samaritan woman besides. See? The birds of a feather, what kind of birds is he flocking with? What about that woman? Do you remember he goes and he's having dinner and a woman comes in and she anoints his feet? Do you remember? And the people there say, if he was a prophet, he would know that she is a sinful woman. We don't know the sin. We don't dispute it. And yet, hers is the greatest blessing. Be careful the company you keep. Do you remember the lepers? You're not supposed to have anything to do with lepers. They are sinful people. They are not good people. They're people that you're supposed to not be around. In all of his ministry, Jesus criticizes Pharisees and Sadducees and the chief priests. We've heard him talking about them, how they like to feast on the widows and feast on the poor and take the places of honor and banquets. And he criticizes them roundly and repeatedly. But you know what's interesting? He spends time with them. He doesn't separate himself away. He goes and he is with them, doing things with them. John 3, he meets this Pharisee named Nicodemus. Do you remember Nicodemus? He's a priest, a teacher of the people, and he's meeting with him, and he delivers what is probably the most famous New Testament passage. 3:16, do you know it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Here it is to a Pharisee. He's not flocking with his own flock. Maybe he is flocking with his own flock, because all of them, right, wrong, different colors, different sinners, all kinds of people, and he's flocking together with them. In fact, his whole ministry has been that way. The Garden of Gethsemane, do you remember? It's a Passover feast. He gathers with his disciples. They have the Passover feast. And at the end of that, he institutes the Last Supper. He institutes our communion service. And then he tells the disciples, stay awake with me. Pray with me. They've had a lot of good wine, and they just can't stay awake. But early in the morning, before the sun had risen, they come to take him. They come to take Jesus to arrest him. And he says to them, have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But he sends us like lambs into the midst of wolves. Think about what that means. He doesn't send us out as lambs to go out and join some other lambs that are like us. We're going out amongst the wolves. Not armed to do battle. Don't take extra stuff. Don't take... Just go there and be at peace with those people there. It's a tough place to be. We're supposed to go and be in the midst of. We don't have to say, I agree with you. Do you remember last week's sermon? I'm neither with you nor against you. And we can be that. We can be with people we disagree with, but we can connect with them heart to heart. That's what John Wesley said. If your heart is as my heart, then give me your hand. Okay, I got a quiz for you. Here's three famous people. Dick Cheney, George W. Bush, Hillary Clinton. Which one are United Methodists? Does that blow your mind? If their heart is as my heart, we have a bridge built. There are going to be divisions. There are divisions in our country. There are more, and they could grow. But God willing, we will be those hearts that help say, wait. We respond to a greater master. Somewhere down the road, 20 years from now, we'll look back on this and say, gosh, we thought that was a tumultuous election. I remember as a kid, the first election I was in, it seemed like it was going to change the world. I don't even remember who it was. It didn't do much that I can see. How about you? Have you ever gotten caught up and we were sure that the whole world would change? And there are changes, and some of them are wonderful, some of them are not so much. 20 years from now, we'll look back. Will we remember the division, or will we remember that we are able, people to people, to connect? And people that are not lambs as we are lambs, that maybe don't look the same as we do, maybe don't have the same political posters in their front yards that we do, but they're our brothers and sisters. How are we going to do that? Those are the people we ought to flock with. You see, I would flock with someone who's not even a Christian, who's from India, eastern, southern India, a little guy by the name of Gandhi. I would flock with him. What about people that are lawbreakers? What about people that deliberately break the law? I know of two African-American women, lawbreakers named Rosa Parks and Sojourner Truth. I would flock with them. I know we are supposed to keep the peace in our society, and when peace gets stirred up, people get really angry at whoever's doing the stirring up. And that kind of is the way it's supposed to work, maybe, I don't know. But I knew a guy that stirred things up back when. He was a Baptist preacher, and he made a mess out of the South. He stirred things up left and right and high and low. I would flock with Martin Luther King. And what about rich and poor? Isn't it important that we kind of stay within confines of who we are and some people that are more like us than different? But I know this backwoods country hick lawyer named Abraham Lincoln. I would flock with him. And I would flock with all the others. I'm going to try. That's what we're called to do. We're called to try and say how we can be across those barriers, break down those divisions, build those bridges, be the disciples we're called to be. That's what Bill read this morning. He read our directive. It's straight out of Isaiah. I've got it written here somewhere. There we go. Learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. All the rest of it's fluff. That's who we are. That's who we're called to be. God grant us the ability to flock together as Christians. Amen. And thank you for the cough drops.